We are rocking and rolling this morning. This morning I want to be teaching out of Colossians chapter 1. That was the passage that was read earlier by Patricia. And this has some really good insight for us because it reveals some things both in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, in the science realm. This is probably one of the Colossians chapter 1 is probably one of the deepest passages in the Word of God that answers some very deep questions. And so Paul starts off in verse 15. Anyway, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All right. Now, if you go through the Word of God and you look at God the Father, you will see Jesus saying, "My Father, my heavenly Father, my Father who is in heaven, my Father, my heavenly Father." And so, where is God the Father? He's in heaven. Amen. And then the Son, and you all through the New Testament, the Son was sent to earth. It was sent forth. And so the Father's in heaven. The Son is he's the very image of the invisible God. And so again, it would be an impossibility for me to try to explain the Trinity, for you or to you, because it's impossible to wrap your head around this, that we have three gods but one God, three personalities but one united personality, three personalities and yet one goal, one purpose. And so the whole concept of the Trinity is very difficult to comprehend. As a matter of fact, the early church had such a problem with trying to explain or accept the Trinity of the Godhead, that there was a big movement in the first couple of centuries that was trying to explain away the Trinity. That it was, today the movement is called the Jesus Only Movement. Okay, that it's all Jesus, but it's Jesus appearing in different manifestations or whatever. Constantine sponsored the Council of Nicaea was to address this very problem that, the Godhead is a Trinity. There's Father, Son, and Spirit, but not three distinct gods, one God. And so this is difficult, and it's a problem that the Muslims use this Trinity idea to discredit Christianity. They want to say that they are the only monotheistic religion out there, one God religion. And if we say, well, we're monotheistic, we believe in one God, it says, no, you believe in three gods. And so this is, the Father definitely didn't do us any favors by revealing himself to us as the Trinity, because it has caused a lot of problems. But you know what? He's God. And if we could get our little pea brains around the concept of the Trinity, then we'd be God. Alright, but we can't, so we're not. Alright, so, okay. And then it talks about, that Jesus was he's the very image, he's what you can see of a God that you can't see. Get a hold of that he is the image of the invisible God. So there's an invisible God, but he's what you can see of an invisible God. And so the way that I describe it is that the responsibility of that part of the Godhead that we call the Son is to represent the Godhead. So whenever you look in the Old Testament and you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, like Moses when the angels came to him when they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, all right, and this is the angel of the Lord appeared unto appeared unto Abraham. And that was a Christophany, that was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son, of the Christ, okay? And so if the Godhead has to be represented, that's the Son's responsibility. Okay, so it's really a simple way to try to explain the unexplainable. But anyhow, all right. But it says, verse 16, for in him all things and in heaven and earth were created, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, all things have been created through him and for him. And right here, the physicist who knows Christ as his Savior is just saying, oh, yes, Lord. All right? Because we know that in the universe, there is more dark matter, matter that can't be seen, than there is matter, matter that can be seen. There is more antimatter than matter. These are all things in physics. And right here, Paul, in speaking to the Colossians, is telling him, that's right, all the stuff that can be seen, and then all the stuff that can't be seen. How about that? Back then, if you could see it, if you could put your hands on it, it was real. And Paul is saying here, well, there's a whole lot more out there that you can't put your hands on. Amen? And he himself was before all things, and in him all things hold together. And this is an incident. I can go back to an incident in our lives when we lived in Memphis. And we were going to a little church service, or a little church there, and the adult, they had like three adult Sunday school classes, and the one that we were in was like 200 or 300 people. It was a good size adult Sunday school class. And we were studying this passage of Scripture. And by him all things subsist. And the Greek means are held together. And I said, that's great. That explains everything to me as a physicist. Not that I'm a physicist, but I'm a student of physics. And because the problem that I have is everybody knows that if you have a positive item and a negative item, what do? They attract. If you have a negative item and a negative item, what do? They repel each other, right? Okay. And so we know that an atom is balanced because you have a positively charged nucleus with all these electrons, positive, negative, and they're balanced. That holds together. I said, yay, isn't that good? But it goes even deeper than that, because if these keys right here were the nucleus of an atom, do you know where the electrons would be? Out over the pool somewhere. That's how small subatomic particles are. If this were the nucleus of an atom, the electrons going around the atom would be out there somewhere. Okay, there's more space than matter in this universe, all right? But what about this guy? What about this little nucleus? He's made up of protons and neutrons. Neutrons don't have any charge, but he's made up of protons. So what charge is he? He's positive. And he's got two protons in him. What's going to happen to the two protons? They're going to fly apart. All right? And so this is something that physicists have been arguing over, you know, since subatomic theory has been bouncing around. And they have said, look it, the nucleus isn't stable. We've got to invent something that, because we can't find it. We've looked, we've tried, we can't find it. We just know that it's there, that holds the nucleus together. And so they invented gluons. What glues the nucleus together? Gluons! Well, at least do it in Latin or something. I mean, my goodness, gluons. You know, I've got grandchildren that come up with gluons or whatever. We haven't seen them. We have no evidence of them except that the nucleus holds together. All right. So anyhow, I jumped up in the Sunday school class and said, you know, Eureka, I have figured it out. It's Jesus that holds the whole mess together. All right? And this one guy who was some college professor or something, he just, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. We've got live of that. And after that, it was just like, you know, Charlie Brown's teacher. Wow, 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 wow. So I went home and I called up my friend, Dr. Rose. And I said, Dr. Rose, this is, you know, I came, and he is so funny. He's one of the top physicists in the world. And he says, well, Dale, it's like this. The fact that the nucleus holds together, he says, that's in my area of expertise, physics. But the how, that's in your area. He says, that's a God thing. Amen. Isn't that neat? Yeah, Dr. Rose has since passed away, but he was my mentor when I was in junior high school and on. Just a really, really neat guy. And so, here we have it, and by him, all things hold together. Amen? What keeps this earth? You know, if you get to the point where you're thinking God doesn't hear your prayers, and nobody's here has ever thought that, right, have you? You know, your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, you know, type of a thing, you know. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. I would just ask you, to look down and see if you're still there. Because if you're still there, he's still thinking about you. If he's still there, he's still holding you together. Amen? When he's not there, do not worry. because the universe will cease to exist. Because it's all held together in Christ Jesus. Amen? And I know that to, you know, people that have been through high school physics classes and, you know, maybe even a bachelor or a master's in sciences or whatever, it sounds so simple. That is so simple, Dale. It takes a simple mind like yours to believe in such garbage. But I'm here to tell you, it gives me so much comfort in knowing that my God is intimately involved with each of our existence, not to mention our wants and our needs, just the very fact that we exist shows that God is right here, active in our lives. Amen? Isn't that good? All right, and then it says that he's the head over all things to the church, of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. And so he is the head of the body, the church. Okay? And so this is something for us to remember, because I talk to so many people that, you know, pastors say, well, you know, my church and my church this and my church this and my church this and whatever. And I say, excuse me, it's Christ's church. We're just the shepherds that have been chosen to lead that part of the flock. Jesus is over the church. Jesus, and I'll tell you something else that should bring you some comfort. When you start reading in the opening chapters of Revelation, it talks about a scene in heaven where there are seven lampstands, candlesticks, and there are seven angels that for you know, each candlestick has an angel. And the angel that's talking to Saint John explains to him that each candlestick is a representative of a particular church on earth. So that each fellowship is represented in heaven by a candlestick. Now, one might logically say, well, when there were only seven churches, then, you know, that was fine, you know, because church was the city that all the Christians lived in, and so, no big deal, seven candlesticks. So, God doesn't do that anymore. I don't see in the Word of God where he stopped doing it. I think that this little fellowship of believers has a lampstand up in heaven with a little light that's burning. Amen? And there's an angel. That there has been an angel. Not only does the Bible tell us that we have guardian angels, each of us individually, but there is an angel that is assigned over this church. Amen? And it's not me. I'm not an angel. My wife might think I'm an angel, but I'm not an angel. Oh, sometimes. Okay. All right. But there's an angel over our church. Why? Because God is so intimately involved with the existence of every one of us, why not have an angel looking over the activities of the people that make up this body of believers? Why not have a little lampstand in heaven that's burning up in heaven? As a matter of fact, in ancient churches, you guys can't see it over here, but you guys can see it over here. There's a little red light burning over there that's called a congregational candle. For us, it's not a candle because they don't let us have open flames here. We're not smart enough to have candles safely. But anyhow, that is a congregational candle. And in all the ancient churches used to have one, and it represented, this is our candle here, and we've got one in heaven too. All right? Each congregation had a candle, a lampstand, whatever you wanted to call it. And so God is so intimately involved in our very existence. Why shouldn't he be concerned about it? As a matter of fact, if he's in the business of holding our subatomic particles together, do you think he's aware of any other needs that we have in our bodies, in our lives? Amen? That's how intimate our God is. Now, one of the saddest things that I've ever heard, when I was doing one of my doctoral theses, I had a guy that was working with who was a rabbi. And he was a very conservative rabbi. And I was glad that he would have even talked to me, because they have a name for people like us and it's not nice. I was bouncing some things off of him. And the thing that just really broke my heart was that he believes that, yes, there is a God. And yes, the first five books of the Bible are true. God did it all, made it all, set it into motion. But now, he has just retreated to some small corner of the universe, and he isn't involved in the affairs of his creation. And I thought, how sad is that? To believe in the same God that we believe in, but to have this mistaken notion that he doesn't care anymore. He's given his law to man. Now, man lives his life by fulfilling the law or not, and then is judged accordingly. Boy, that's a pretty lonely existence in my mind. But I thank you, verse 21, and you who were once estranged from God, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless, irreproachable before him. That's what God is doing. God, what are you doing in my life? This is what he's doing. He's now reconciled us to him through his body. When he died on that cross, he who was without sin, who knew no sin, became sin. The Bible says his sins were put on him. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He became the physical embodiment of sin. And when he died on that cross, every sin died with him. Well, if you're dead, how much life do you have in you? None. If you've got some life left in you, then you're not entirely dead. are you? So when his sin, when our sin placed on him, died on that cross, how much is left of that sin? There isn't any. So when the Father looks at us and he sees us in the blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us without sin. Because that sin has already died. Amen? Amen? I just want you to know today that you're not alone. That God is so intimately involved with each breath you take, with each heartbeat that beats in your chest, that is there because of His divine provision. He makes that happen. And without Him, we wouldn't even be a puddle of protoplasm, because protoplasm is made up of molecules, and molecules wouldn't exist. Without Him, this world is nothing, but with Him, we are the children of God. Amen? Amen. So, when you're studying, when you're reading your Word, when you're spending some time in prayer, when you're just walking through the house and you've got some praise music on, or listening to somebody like in our 5-minute message every morning, the 5-minute journey, when you're listening to those words being read aloud, then just stop and think, that's my God who has blessed me with every good blessing in the spiritual places. He hasn't forgotten me today. He is just sitting right there looking for the best and first opportunity to bless me and to use me as a blessing in somebody else's life. We are never alone. Amen? Never, never, ever alone. And, you know, there's a passage in Scripture that I don't use it in funerals, because it can be taken so wrong so easily. But it says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. And a lot of people, their flesh will bow up at that, you know. Well, this person was pretty precious to me too, you know, so why did God take them? Now, like I said, I don't use that passage of Scripture in funerals, but it is so true that God loves us so much that His desire is to be 100% completely with us. While we walk this earth, brothers and sisters, while we walk this earth, we've got things distracting us. We've got shopping we've got to do. We've got meals we have to prepare. We've got laundry we have to do. Don't forget to pay the rent. They'll come after you if you forget that. There's all these things that occupy our time. And, you know, we're just busy doing this and busy doing that. And maybe, just maybe, for a few moments each day, we make time for our Heavenly Father. And so He says, well, when I get you here in my house, then I'll have you forever. We'll be together forever. I'll be able to bless you like you never thought you could have been blessed. It's going to be a precious time when I get you home to me. So don't ever, ever think that you're alone. Amen? He's loving you through every situation that we're dealing with. Father God, I thank You.